So McAllister, who was fouled for the penalty, is okay. It's a short run-up, takes a few steps back. Can he get Liverpool off to the best possible start here in Prague in the Czech Republic? Referee blows the whistle. McAllister goes up, right-footed. Brilliant! Sends the keeper the wrong way and in! Jürgen Klopp applauds. Liverpool lead. Alexis McAllister from the penalty spot. Elliot, good ball. Wide left, Nunez cuts inside, Nunez shoots, oh what a goal, what a goal by Darwin Nunez, he turns and lashes it, top corner, what a strike, 2-0, that was goal number 1000 by the way, under the management of Jürgen Klopp, absolutely incredible. McAllister under pressure, Robertson, McAllister, they're trying to hold him off, McAllister's too strong for three of them. And then he's played an unbelievable ball over the top. It bounces. Nunez shoots. What a goal! What a goal! He's lethal, Darwin Nunez. He lashes in, right-footed into the net. The pass and the bit of play from McAllister in the build-up was unbelievable. Good pressing by Robertson and Luis Diaz. Nice turn, though, by Preciado again. And a good ball over the top, actually, and Kwanzaa can't get there. It's a low ball across the goal. And, oh, it's an own goal with his first touch. Connor Bradley, tracking back, has turned the ball into his own net. 3-1. Bradley goes on the overlap, beats his man. Crosses, mistake, Elliott's in. Diaz, can he turn? Shoots! Goal! Luis Diaz deflected into the net. And Liverpool lead 4-1. But now a mistake at the other end, and Szoboszlai on the run. Now he's got Salah free at the back. Szoboszlai going all the way. And scores! A brilliant goal! Individual goal by Dom Szoboszlai. Running in and scoring. 5-1, right at the end. Job done.
Liverpool assumed a commanding position in the Europa League last 16 tie with Sparta Prague by winning the first leg 5-1 at Stadion Letner. I'm Mark Benstead and you're listening to The Reaction. Over the course of this podcast, we'll bring you the thoughts of Jürgen Klopp, Harvey Elliott and Jarrell Kwanzaa, as well as my studio guests Ray Houghton and Neil Mellor. And it was Ray that kicked off our analysis.
I would say the word I'd use is bizarre game. It was quite incredible. Liverpool got off to a very good start with the penalty. You're expecting then for them to go on and take control of the first half, but credit to Sparta Prague, they got themselves right back into it. Some very good chances that they didn't make the best use of. And one of the things I said before the game came to fruition, when you're a club like Sparta Prague and you're playing in your league and you're dominating, you're getting a lot of the ball, you can make mistakes and you get away with it. When you're playing against a good team, they'll punish you. And that's what Liverpool did in that first half. They really got on top of them. Every mistake, Liverpool capitalised on it, created chances. We eventually got the goals and 3-0 at half-time. You know, it virtually was tie over. You just couldn't see them getting them back into it. Bit of good fortune in the second half with the OG that they got to get themselves at 3-1. Then they had a couple of half chances that they didn't take. But overall, I just thought Liverpool tonight, looking at them, I thought they looked sharp. I thought they were quick in to win the ball back, pass the ball with a lot of precision. In the forward areas, it always looked threatening. And five goals. You know, any time you go away from home and you score five goals, doesn't matter what competition you're playing, you've got to have done something right. And there was a lot of good things that Liverpool did well tonight.
Yeah, this is a Sparta side that hasn't lost a home since May before tonight. Yeah. Liverpool got five past them. A lot of that down to the way Liverpool started. The intent, as Ray said, was there from the off this evening.
I think the intent was from the team sheet. It's a great advantage to take into the second leg. There's no doubt about that. I think there was a lot of talk about what will the starting lineup look like tonight. We've seen the youngsters being used in various games recently, and we thought it may be the case again. The manager's made his intentions clear from that starting lineup. We are going for it to put ourselves in a commanding position to keep the momentum, the feel-good factor going into that massive game at the weekend. Only three changes from the previous game against Forest at the weekend, and strong changes. You know, Endo and Nunez coming in. Kwanzaa was the other change. So not too many in terms of young personnel. Great start to the game. I think that always helps. The crowd were up and the crowd were sensing it could be a famous night for them. Great start to the game. I thought they responded really well, and we've won 5-1, and we'll talk about goal scorers. Quiveen Kelleher has got to get a mention, because some of the saves he made at key moments of the game, at 1-0, because if they get the equaliser, the fans stay involved with the game, it might change the mentality of the Sparta players. They didn't get that goal. They were wasteful. And as Ray mentioned, Liverpool were clinical. That first half, Liverpool were clinical. 3-0, great position. Thought it might be a little bit nervy when they got the goal back. But I thought Liverpool handled the game really well in terms of the way Liverpool managed that second half, kept the ball. It was a professional display. And that puts us into a great position for the second leg next week.
Yeah, it is slightly strange in some ways, given the amount of chance in the game and given the eventual scoring. But there was that period, Neil, when Kelleher was called upon to be involved and his contribution was excellent. Two, in particular, really good saves that underlined his quality and his importance to this group.
Yeah, and Ray mentioned it, Sparta deserved credit because they had a go. They thought they'd been playing well and they thought they could have a real good go at this Liverpool side tonight. And they created chances, created some really good chances. They didn't take it for various reasons. Quirin Kelleher was a major factor. They were a little bit wasteful. I mean, the open goal they missed, that was a key moment. That makes it 2-1. But yeah, they were wasteful. But Quirin Kelleher was absolutely outstanding. I think one of the biggest compliments, we've heard it a few times, the fact that Alisson, the best goalkeeper in the world, has missed, what, 5-6 games? And Quirin Kelleher, in every one of those games, has had to make big saves. And that shows just how
he's grown, isn't he? I think he's really grown as an individual, as a goalkeeper. I mean, I still... When Alisson's not missing a lot of games, you're just sitting, you know, you're training every day and there's nothing at the end of it. There's no game at the end of the week for you and it's very difficult. You know, much more so than an outfield player where you'll maybe get on as a substitute. He's not got that opportunity, so he's just got to bide his time, wait, be patient. But when you go in, you've got to be ready and you've got to take your chance. And he's certainly done now. In the last few weeks I've watched him, I've seen him, you know, growing in stature now. He really looks like a number one. Not like before people were thinking about him as just someone who would come on when in cup games occasionally or when Alisson's out injured. I think people are now looking at him in a different light, the way that he's performing.
Trusted as well.
Yeah, yeah.
When people see his name on the team sheet, it's not a case of a number two. Proper goalie out there making some big saves. And again, he showed that at key moments tonight.
I think we said that about him with the back four. Because the back four trust him now. They're not coming back on top of him. They're pushing up because they're expecting him to make saves. They're expecting him to come out and read the situations of the sweeper-keeper when balls are played over the top. He's got that confidence and they've got the confidence in him to come out and sort the situation out. We know how good he is when the ball's played back to him. He's no panic about him. He just passes it out nice and easy. You know, keeps the ball alive, brings the others into the game as well. So there's a real trust now, I think, much more so than a few weeks ago between him and the defenders in front of him, and I think it's working really well at the moment.
How much did we panic when he went down with the injury? Because he landed awkwardly, didn't he?
Yeah,
thinking
it was,
with the injuries. He's been absolutely magnificent. He was okay to carry on.
Off the back of his contribution, Neil, and that spell where he really was calling to make big saves, we capitalised through Darwin Núñez, and from him, a lot gets made of his finishing and the chance he doesn't take, the goals he scored tonight, albeit perhaps the goalkeeper's at fault for one of them, excellent this evening.
Which one? The goalkeeper's at fault. How harsh are you?
Well, potentially. Yeah,
okay, fair enough. But for me, I think a big difference seeing Darwin Núñez in the team, I don't know if you agree or not, but the last few games, a lot of the players been in front of the defence. Darwin Núñez, in the last few games opposition, he's wanted to run in behind. And that was a big difference tonight. All of a sudden, he wants to lengthen the game, a little bit more space for Diaz to operate, Gakpo to get on the ball. And we haven't had that same space, and it really opened the game up a lot. That was Darwin Núñez's movement. I think his first goal is one of those, a little bit like Bournemouth maybe in the League Cup, where he's just hit it, and it's one of them where the goalkeeper maybe wasn't ready. I think you're being harsh if you're thinking the goalkeeper might have saved
The second one was quite central a little bit, and he's a little bit off his line a little bit, potentially.
Okay,
I think
the second one's a top goal, and for me, the movement's brilliant.
I'll tell you one of the biggest differences, I think, with Darwin Núñez, when Mo Salah went away to the African Cup of Nations and with Mo being out injured, he's taken more responsibility shooting. I think prior to that, first half of the season, he kept looking for more. When he was getting it steady, just being more positive and being a little bit more selfish and taking the shot himself, he was looking for Mo Salah all the time because he was thinking, oh, I'll give it to the main striker, the main finisher. Whereas now, as he did for the first goal and his second, just getting out of his feet and he's gone, I'm taking the responsibility. I'm going to be the man that's going to take the shots at goal and see what happens from there. And his confidence, because he's scoring, his confidence has grown, and that's why he's hitting them from the distances that he is.
But look at the second one. So the difference there is McAllister is a player who can see the picture, but he needs the movement in front of him. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, is what Darwin Núñez will always offer you, running in behind, and he gets there, he's too quick for the defender. I like the way he looks at where the goalie is, rather than panicking and just slashing at it and maybe trying to beat the goalie on his near post. He sees exactly where he is, and he sort of places that volley into the far corner. For me, I thought that was the best goal of the night. It was an outstanding goal.
You mustn't ever be afraid to miss. when you're a striker, you shouldn't worry about missing chances. You should be worried when you're not getting chances. That's when you know things aren't going well. But that isn't the case with Darwin. When people were criticising him, he was still getting opportunities. He wasn't taking them. But now he's starting regularly to hit the back of the net. You can see he's a different type of player. He's always had that ability to run in behind. No one's ever questioned him on that. He stretches the opposition. He stretches teams that you play against. Because when you play with Cody Gakpo, Cody wants to come short. He wants to get involved in the build-up plays. So it's all quite close together, quite tight. Whereas when Darwin plays, he wants to go the other way. So for midfielders, it's ideal just to play that ball in behind to create the space where he's going to get the chances, as he did for his second goal.
Yeah, Liverpool cruising at the break, but there was that setback at the start of the second half, Neil. Conor Bradley's own goal. But again, he kind of shook that off and dealt with it in the way he's dealt with everything so far in his short Liverpool career.
Yeah, I think he showed the maturity, how he's grown into Liverpool's first team this season. Because for any young player, the last thing you're thinking, oh, what a terrible start, I've conceded a known goal there. But the way he responded, he was involved with the next goal, which came very quickly to re-establish Liverpool's three-goal lead. He defended well when he needed to get back and stop the threat from Sparta on the counter-attack, and gave Liverpool good attacking threat down the right-hand side as well. So for a youngster to concede a known goal, which he's had so many highs, that was a rare setback for him. Great reactions. Head up, right, I'm going to influence the game in a positive way. And he did for that next goal, the fourth goal, which he obviously sets up Harvey Elliott, who plays the ball back in for Diaz to get it 4-1.
Yeah, perfect reaction from him and the team, because the response was almost instant. The advantage is restored and we're back in control of the game when Diaz gets that fourth goal, right?
Yeah, but Liverpool created so many chances, because every time they went forward, they looked threatening. I thought Sparta Prague defensively were all over the place. You know, they just didn't compete in the right manner. You know, as I said, in their own league, they'd be fine, but they're playing against top-class individuals in the Liverpool side who can open you up at any time. And the many times that Liverpool went through and could have had a shot and passed it off, and you know, someone would get a block in, but there was too many chances for Liverpool. I just noticed once again, over 20 attempts at goal Liverpool had again tonight. How many games is that? You know, it's virtually week in, week out, every time they're playing against opposition. That's the number of chances they're getting. 11 shots on target tonight, which is a good ratio when you look at it, for the 21 shots, I think it was, they had at goal tonight. So they're playing with a confidence, playing with a belief, and regardless who's in the starting 11, everyone's at it. They're all on their game. You know, everyone wants to do well because they know, you know, positions are up for grabs. It's going to be a fantastic end of the season with still being in Europa League, still being in the FA Cup, and currently top of the Premier League. So it's fighting for positions. The manager's tough job is who he selects, because there's so many people that are on top of their game at the moment, playing with freedom, playing with confidence, but really going into matches believing that they can win. And that's a great feeling to have.
A lot of talk in advance of the game, Neil, about Dominic Szoboszlai and Mo Salah both getting minutes. They both got minutes. We thought they'd both got a goal. In the end, it turned out only Dom got a goal this evening. But vitally did get on the park. And it was great to see Dom come on with such effect in the closing stages.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's been a worrying list, how long it's been, the injury list. Obviously, to see Endo back out there and Nunes was a boost at the weekend. And again, they start the game. That was a massive boost. But to see Szoboszlai come on and look fit and strong and sharp and involved, wants the ball, gets himself in good areas. And obviously Salah's the big one, isn't it? You know, Salah, to see him back out there was absolutely huge. Denied a goal, still trying to work out why he was disallowed, offside apparently. Didn't see any lines being drawn, but yeah, a massive boost. The only negative tonight was seeing Konaté going off. We don't know. It's obviously a concern because he looked like he pulled up. Whether he's going to be OK for Sunday, because he's been in absolutely magnificent form. He really has. So that's the only down. But Salah back, Szoboszlai back, Endo back, Nunes back. All of a sudden, it's starting to look a lot healthier.
I like Kwanzaa as well, though. I think he's a fabulous young talent. And he's so cool. I think he's great on the ball. He's probably, Liverpool's best player at the moment in possession. I even go with Virgil on that. He never looks flustered to me. Every time the ball comes to him, he's always assured. He's opened his body up. He's always got his head up, playing the right pass. So I wouldn't have a big problem with that, as far as getting someone who wants to get on the ball all the time. The only concern, if that's your partnership, Kwanzaa and Virgil on Sunday, you're up against Haaland, who's physical, and it's whether, you know, Kwanzaa can handle that. We've not seen him up against someone like that so far, so that'll be the big test if Konaté's not fit.
Yeah, we'll delve into selection issues for the weekend later in the show. 5 goals tonight, over 100 goals this season for Liverpool. We've now passed the 1,000 goal marker under Jurgen Klopp as well. Darwin Nunes taking us past that tally.
I think what you would say under Klopp is we've been a great side to watch as an attacking force. And we've always had firepower, haven't we? You know, that front three for a period of time was the best in world football. And now at the moment, there's only Jota out, which obviously is a blow. But we've got firepower. We've scored 5 goals tonight. To see 4 players in Gakpo, Diaz, Nunes and Salah out there, that is good news for the rest of the season, because we'll always have goals in our locker. And a big area where we've improved, and we're looking at goals there, is defensively. 7th best in the Premier League last year. It was off the pace. It wasn't what we've been used to. Back at it again this year. Us and Arsenal, the best defensive record in the Premier League. If we can maintain that between now and the end of the season, we will score more goals because of the firepower we have up there.
What was the old Turner phrase? Was it goals win games, clean sheets win championships or something along those lines?
Well, they're doing both at the moment, aren't they? You know, yeah. Look, listen, the all-round game, and it's hard just to say about one department or the other. Yeah, over 100 goals this season is remarkable, but you need a platform to play from to score the goals, and that comes from your goalie. Your defenders defending in the manner that you should, but also your midfielders. I mean, they don't always talk about them often enough, but new players have come in, the likes of Endo, McAllister, Szoboszlai, Curtis, who's had a lot more games before he picked up his injury, Harvey Elliott coming in midfield as well, substitutes coming on and influencing games. That's been what Liverpool's been about this season. You never feel that they're out of a game. Every match that they're in, you always fancy they're going to create chances, score goals, because there's this inner belief within them that even in the 99th minute, as it was against Nottingham Forest, they can still create a chance. And look at the number of players Liverpool had in and around the box to get that goal. It was quite unbelievable because they had that desire, that determination. That's what's going to be required between now and the end of the season to get to the targets which the manager wants.
Just a quick break in the show to tell you there's never been a better time to show your support for the Reds. Whether it's getting kitted out with this season's Nike home strip, checking out the new arrivals to our training range, or if you want to roll back the years with a shirt from our retro range, well, the Liverpool FC store has everything that you need. And right now, there's even savings of up to 30% on this season's away kit while stocks last. Visit a store today, go online at liverpoolfc.com/store or download the official LFC store app to find what you're looking for. Right, let's get back to the show. So a good result for the Reds, even though Sparta did have their chances. It was a good night for Harvey Elliott with 2 assists in the game. He's been speaking with Peter McDowell.
Well, Harvey, does it feel like mission accomplished? It's a big lead to take back to Anfield now.
Yeah, definitely. It was probably the best possible thing that can happen, especially now with the second leg coming up. I thought we were very clinical in front of goal today, and you know it's put us, you know, in a good position with the second leg. But you know, we're not focusing on that now. Another tough game on the weekend, and then we can think about it after.
3 goals up at half-time and probably the goalkeeper, the best player on the pitch. Quite a strange first half in many ways.
Yeah, it was. I don't think we were at our best today. But, you know, we made our chances count, which is, you know, all we can ask for. We just need to keep doing that. And, you know, confidence-wise, especially for the lads, it's great for the upcoming games. We just need to keep it going.
Darwin, a couple of goals, like you said before, clinical nature about them, weren't they? 2 absolutely brilliant finishes.
Yeah. He's a very clinical striker, and you know, you put him in half positions and half chances, you know, he's more than likely going to take them. And you know, today was another example of that. We're over the moon for him, and it's great for him, especially coming back from injury.
It feels like as well a little bit of rhythm about players getting back on the pitch again. Dominic Szoboszlai back, yeah. Salah back. Looked like it was harsh to rule out the goal, and I mentioned as well Big Darwin up top.
Yeah, definitely. You know, some, you know, big names coming back now, and you know, the group's getting stronger and stronger again, which is good. It's a good squad, and we're in a good position, you know, to test each other and, you know, to work as hard as we can for one another. Especially with the lads coming back now, just give us, you know, that extra option, which is nice. Very happy with them.
So many goals, and probably comes at just the right time, like you mentioned before. Man City coming at Anfield, so much excitement. It feels almost like a winner takes all.
Yeah, it's a tough game. There's no doubt about that. World-class team with world-class players, and it's going to be a very tough game. But you know, they're coming to our house. we're going to have everyone with us, that's for sure. You know, we need to show them what's up.
They have won the last 9 away games. What's it going to take from this Liverpool team to turn that record upside down?
Yeah, you know, it's going to take a lot. As I said, unbelievable team. But, you know, we are Liverpool. They're coming to, you know, our home, Anfield. It's not an easy place to come. You know, the fans are going to be behind us all the way, which we know. And, you know, we're gonna have to put in a strong performance and, you know, work as hard as we possibly can. But, you know, these next couple of days we need to recover. Then we can start focusing on that. But, yeah, you know, as I said, it's going to be a tough game. Thank you.
Yeah, contributed a lot from the start in this competition through the course of the season. Generally, maybe has had to do more off the bench. But the way he's been deployed has kind of underlined the versatility of the whole group, I guess, Neil.
I think for me, I think Harvey Elliott's had a magnificent season. You forget how young he is, 20. He's 20. Now, we've been made up with how well our youngsters have been doing. He's almost been forgotten how young he is because of how much he's contributed in the time he's been there. He speaks so maturely, he behaves so maturely that he's seen now as a senior player, and he's helping all these younger players. This is what it's like to be in and around the first team. And he's been consistent with his performances. He'll play in midfield 3, he'll be in the front 3 when required, and just do whatever is required. He'll put in a big shift, 120 minutes at Wembley, and then he's playing against Southampton, rolling his sleeves up and working hard and influencing the game. I think he's been absolutely superb, and he's going to be a very difficult player not to start at the weekend in one of the biggest games of the season. Really pleased for him, playing really well. The rhythm is there for Harvey Elliott at the moment.
Dominic Szoboszlai's goal tonight was the 22nd scored by a substitute for Liverpool this season, the most in a season. That kind of underlines as well just what the manager's been able to do by utilising the right players at the right time, judging when to make changes, when to utilise the group in different ways.
Well, we said about, because of the injuries that the boys have had, they need minutes on the pitch, and the manager, we've spoken to the medical team, so they were told of what they're available to do, what the most minutes they probably can actually get out of them without them really injuring themselves or the fear of having another injury, just to go out there and enjoy their football. And that's what Dominic looked like when he came on to me. He just got on the ball, he was up and down the pitch, he looked fit as he's ever been. You know, he didn't look like he was a bit ponderous at times, he was sharp, he got on the ball quickly. He did what he had to do when he was in possession of the ball. You know, he maybe laid off a couple of times, but I thought he should have took the shot on, because he went from a really good central position over to the right-hand side to Mo Salah, which was a weaker position for Mo to take the shot on from. But in the end, he got his goal from doing that. It was a 3v2 situation. He could have laid it off wide to Salah. But in the end, he did the right thing, took the shot on, got the goal, and he'll be happy enough. As I said, the manager's got a big call. I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but there's so many players that are in good form at the moment. So many players that have done themselves justice in the last few weeks when they've been included in the team. And they'll be asking the question if they're not in that starting 11 on Sunday. But it's a good thing to have as a manager, isn't it? When you've got so many players who'll be knocking on your door saying, Gaffer, I should be in the side. But the manager, he'll know in himself the team that he'll select. He gave people the opportunity over the last few weeks. They've responded, and responded in the right way, which is good for them for now, but also in the future as players at this club, because they've learnt the Liverpool way. They understand the responsibility which is required when you go into the starting 11, how you've got to perform, the levels you've got to be at, training, playing. And we've seen it from the youngsters that they're ready for whatever comes their way. And I thought Bobby Clark, when he came on, I was speaking to you, was his best position, because he looks like he can play in a variety of positions, but I've seen him on the left-hand side, a little bit higher up the pitch. Lovely, you know, like always looking positive in possession ball. Love that from midfield players. Not negative backwards and square. Anyone can do that. What you want is someone who's going to take charge of it when they're in possession. Where's the right ball to play? And he was playing the right ball, and then he was making runs in behind, and a few occasions he got into really good areas where he was threatening. There, once again, I think the manager will be looking at that thing. You know, if it's a tight game, I'm not afraid to put him in, because I've seen what he can do. I can see what he can give the Liverpool side, maybe coming on as a substitute. So there's so many good things have happened over the last, not just tonight, over the last few weeks. The positivity is around the place, and the manager will be absolutely delighted what he's seen from the youngsters that come in, more experienced players. Left Virgil out, but had to bring him on. He probably didn't want to. Yeah. Probably wanted to give him a rest, but was probably forced into it somewhat. And everything's gone as the way he wanted. When exactly what going to plan, got the 5-1 victory tonight, takes that into the second leg next week. He's rested players, and he's also given players some minutes on the pitch as well. So all systems go for the match on Sunday.
Dominic's an interesting case now, because I think it's kind of been forgotten how important he was and how good he was in the first couple of months at the football club, up until probably maybe Luton, just before Luton. He was sensational. And then he had a bit of a wobble, then he's had injuries and stuff. Tonight gave a sort of hint that, oh, actually, that could be the guy we're going to get back. And if we do get him back, what a lift for the final stage of a campaign.
Yeah, yeah. There's still 11 Premier League games to go. We've got the Europa League, got the FA Cup. So as much as I'm sure he's desperate to start, but because of the time he's been out, do you rush him back in? I thought he looked the part again tonight. I thought he came on, but he's up against Sparta Prague. Different sort of animal at the weekend against City. That is going to be a real challenging game in there. But yeah, he's a player who, Ray mentioned it at the start, you know, at the start of the season, we all hoped we'd be in a title race. Probably didn't really believe it because of all the changes, some key players going out, some real leaders in that dressing room going out. And you're thinking, with these new players coming in, how will they respond? Dominic Szoboszlai was obviously one of them. Alexis McAllister, Endo, another one. All settled in really well. But was a big boost was to see Dominic Szoboszlai doing what we've seen him do earlier on this season, driving forward, being in good areas of the pitch, in the opposition penalty area, defensively as well. What was the score? 4-1 at the time? Mm. And he's back making a challenge to make sure that Sparta aren't getting a shot at goal. Great energy up and down the pitch, but he will play his part between now and the end of the season. Whether he starts Sunday, might be a little bit early, I don't know, but it's certainly good to see him back out there.
All right, there, just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and their careers on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax. And there's lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now. Do make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's. Let's get some reaction now from Jurgen Klopp. Here's what he had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
So the result is much better than the performance, that's true. Sparta played a good game. Sparta took some risk in our possession. They were hiding the wingers slightly. Our protection was not good, and so they could create these counter-attacks. We lost a few unnecessary balls, which is then difficult to protect, but in other moments we should have done better. We adapted during the game and could again actually tell the boys in halftime how we should do it, but then we conceded the goal immediately. But after that it was then not that we controlled it much better, but Sparta had chances. I think, if I'm not 100% sure, but for me, two of the big chances they had looked for me offside. In the end, Kvief made a save and you never saw the flag then. Nobody watched these situations back, but it's fine. But I was sad. Sparta took risk. We punished them for that in other moments. We scored wonderful goals. We had good moments in the game, really good moments in the game. And we are not like that, but we think we come here and just, it's a walk in the park. It was obviously the opposite of a walk in the park. We had to work a lot, but we didn't expect an easy game, and it was not, but it was a good result, and now we fly home, recover, and in 7 days, right, we meet again.
Hello. Is there any player from Sparta squad who wants you for Liverpool?
I retire in the summer.
Okay.
You want me to take him on holiday? Or what?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jurgen, Konate went off in the 50th minute. Do we know how serious it is yet, or is it?
No, we don't know. It was sad to me when he passed me in that moment. I thought if I do another sprint, then it could be bad. So he said I should be fine, but we don't know. Joey is fine. So we took him off, played a lot of games, and so that was more or less rotation, precaution. But now let's see. but it's with Ibu.
Jürgen, hello. I just wondered what's clicked with Darwin Núñez in recent weeks, because some of the goals he's been scoring in the last month, Brentford, Forest, and then the two tonight, they've just been excellent, really.
Yeah. What is it, in the last few months or weeks?
Well, no,
no, it's just that, he had absolutely more than okay first season, but he had to adapt. That's done, settled. In the middle of the team, wonderful guy, wonderful boy, loves to play for this team, this club, together with these boys, and has quality. It's coming out of his ears, to be honest, the quality he has. But it's like strikers are. Sometimes they score, sometimes they don't score. Is he already at his absolute peak in general? Not now for us, or can he develop? Yes. But is he a threat all the time? Yes, as well. And he has the most important attitude a striker needs to have. He misses chances, what all strikers are doing, but he's not really bothered by it. He just keeps going, and that's why he has now a nice number of goals, still games to come, opportunities to score. If he's not scoring, he's for us incredibly important, because he's just a constant threat and gives us some spaces and areas and options to use.
Good evening, Mr. Klopp. I'm a young Czech journalist from Czech Republic, so it's a big pleasure for me to ask you. So how great is the desire to say Liverpool goodbye after European trophy?
Probably the question is, how big is the desire to win a European trophy, to say, yeah. But yeah, would be cool, but it has nothing to do with them. Last year when I stayed, I actually wanted to win something, which was not possible. Nobody has to worry about that. We try really hard, like you could see tonight. My team fought as well. It was not like we were sloppy in the way that we thought we can do that on with 80%, not at all. We made mistakes, that's human, but we fought really hard, and I saw the dressing room afterwards. Boys felt the intensity of the game and were happy about the result. So, well, we keep trying.
Jürgen Klopp there, speaking with the press after the game. More to come from Ray and Neil as we turn our attention to Sunday's clash with Manchester City. But first, let's get some more reaction from over in Prague. Pete has been speaking to Jarrell Kwanza.
Congratulations. It was a really dominant performance against a team with really good home form. How pleasing was that tonight?
Yes, we knew it was going to be a tough game tonight. They possessed a lot of quality in the top half of the pitch, especially, I think. Rode our luck at times, I think. So there was things that we needed to work on when we came in at half-time, and yeah, just thankful that we got the win and it was a convincing one.
What was that message at half-time? Because, you know, you were dominant, three goals up, but Cuive had to make some really top saves in that first half.
Yeah, it was just concentrate. I think we were given the ball. I can only think about myself, but I gave the ball away a few times and they had good opportunities off it, so it was just about maintaining focus. And a side like tonight, again, like you say, a good record at home, they're going to cause problems, and they did that.
So clinical, though, in that final third of the pitch. Darwin just looked like he was loving life out there. Two unbelievable goals from him.
Yeah, his confidence must be sky high at the minute. I think every time he's shooting, it's going in at the minute. So we're happy for him that's the case. And again, with all our front players, we've got so much quality. And as long as we keep the ball out the net at the other end, we score goals, and that's shown throughout the season, really.
How are you feeling at the moment? I mean, your performances just seem to come on with more and more quality. You look more and more comfortable out there against really quite a tricky final third of the pitch today.
Yeah, I'm just always learning. I think that's the stage of my career I'm at. I'm not going to be perfect all the time, and I know that, so it's just taking lessons and against tough strikers, European strikers. It's going to be good for me in the long run.
Manchester City to come at the weekend, we don't know yet obviously what the team will be. Ibu might have a problem, it might be that you're out there. What is the emotions with that a concern? Is it just excitement to maybe get the opportunity to play a part in a game that everybody all across the world is going to be looking at now?
Yeah, that's it. Just excited. Never know what could happen. I think no matter who plays, we've got quality to really go for the game and win the game. So whatever the team will be, we'll see for that. We'll wait for that.
Anfield as well, only lost 1 out of 20 against Manchester City through this dominant period that they've been part of, as well as a special power about these games, particularly at Anfield.
Yeah, that's especially down to the fans, I think. They always show up. Every game this season they've showed up, so we'll definitely need them for Sunday's game, and we're ready. We'll try and get them involved as much as we can and put on an exciting game, hopefully.
Just finally, give us an insight into... Not the confidence is probably the wrong word, but there's a sway about Liverpool at the moment, isn't there? A bit of a swagger in that, you know, everybody is at the top of their game at the moment and everybody is confident that whatever, you know, the issue at the other end, you can outscore any team at the moment.
Yeah, when you win games, it's easy to carry the confidence and carry momentum that we have throughout every competition that we've played in, really. So that's it, really. It's just about confidence, and we've got players who are scoring, players who are playing well, so... As long as that continues, then the confidence and the swagger, like you say, will always show.
Just a word on Salah as well, back in the side. Obviously, harshly perhaps ruled out that offside goal, but to have him back again, to have that rhythm with other players returning as well, is a big fillip for this team.
Yeah, we went through a tough period with injuries, I think. Boys stepped up when they needed to, no matter their age, really. So to be having the experience and the class of the players that are coming back... is much needed, and I think for a game like City it's going to be great.
Okay, looking forward to Sunday's huge clash with City. Let's take a look at the two lineups from the game at the Etihad back in November. We'll start with the Reds, and it was Alisson in goal, Tsimikas, Matip, Van Dijk and Trent. In midfield it was Szoboszlai, McAllister and Curtis Jones. Then the front three was Jota, Nunez and Salah. From that side, we know there will be changes to the keeper and the right back at least.
Yeah, I reckon at least six of those players won't be starting at the weekend. Goalkeeper, Matip, Trent, Tsimikas, Curtis Jones, Jota, there you go, which is the majority of the players that started that last game. I think when you talk about differences, we weren't competing with Man City last season. It's very different this time around, and that was different at the Etihad. It felt like, let's go there and get something, because we know the second leg is back, the second game is back at Anfield. It's felt like it's been a while since that second game has been back at Anfield, and we know the advantage that Anfield can provide the fans, the atmosphere, and we're hoping that can play its part again. But yeah, much changed. The team we'll see starting at the weekend compared to that one, only because of injuries, yeah.
This was the City side that started that game. It was Ederson in goal, then Diaz, Ake and Walker as the back three. It was Doku, Rodri, Akanji and Foden across the middle. In front of them, Alvarez and Silva, with Haaland leading the line. What stands out is just how attacking that lineup was. I just wonder if they will be quite like that at Anfield, or he'll tweet this. There has been a few times when he's played Liverpool where Pep has rejigged things to be wary of Liverpool for respect of what Jurgen Klopp's
I think it's
side
a little bit different this time around. I think he knows he's got to come here and try and win the game. Because of, you look where the positions are in the league and the points difference, he can't allow Liverpool to get another victory over. I mean, that points difference will be quite hard to get back as from Manchester City's point of view. I'll tell you one thing, it's going to be a cracking game. And you've got three sides that are playing brilliantly at the moment for me, which is Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal. If you look at their form in the last few weeks, it's been absolutely sublime. Some of the football they're playing is a joy to watch. There's not much between the three sides. You can say that they can all score goals. Arsenal have proven it recently with the goals they've got. Look at Man City against Man United. Even going a goal behind, never panicked. They always knew they had the ability to do it. So I would suggest that Sunday's game going to be who makes the fewest mistakes. You know, both teams have got match winners, game changers. It's just going to be hopefully a piece of magic from a Liverpool player eventually wins the match. But me personally can't wait for it. I think it's going to be an excellent game of football. I've already seen one exceptional match this season, and I mean, as good as it gets for me, and that was Arsenal at home against Liverpool. I thought tactically, technically, it was as good as you're going to see, and I think Sunday's going to be equally as good. It's just who holds the nerve, who defends the best, and who creates the best chances. So it's got to be a fascinating encounter.
Ray's right, both sides have got match winners in abundance. I just wonder, from Liverpool's point of view, people will talk about Haaland, etc., etc., and all the focus tends to go on him. But Phil Foden's form just now, 11 goals in the Premier League this season, seemingly scoring every game at the moment, whatever competition he plays in, and has been good against us before and at Anfield. if he could be the person that really needs special attention come Sunday.
Yeah, interesting. When you put the two teams up there, we've gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 injured. City's team, fit. Mm. Their full strength. Grealish isn't fit, doesn't get in the strongest team anyway. But yeah, Phil Foden is playing as well as he has done. I think he's really stepped up. You know, De Bruyne's been out at times, Haaland's been out at times. I think between himself, Foden, and Bernardo Silva, they've been outstanding for City this season. And we know the quality that they have. Foden showed it against United in the second half. City have a threat going forward, we know that, and we'll have to be mindful of that. They have been more vulnerable defensively. I think there's been a lot of teams this season that have created more than maybe they would have thought. And with our attack and with Salah back fit, the way that Nunes can cause absolute havoc for that City defence, Diaz, thought Diaz was outstanding tonight, looked really sharp. You're thinking, it's going to be a great game. We are going to get chances because of how vulnerable City have been. And I just can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, Mo Salah's only scored more goals against Manchester United than he has against Manchester City. It's an opponent he likes facing. He turns up for the big occasion. He's been the match winner in this fixture before.
City will not want to see his name on the team sheet. They'd have seen him come off the bench tonight thinking, well, how ready is he? Only Jurgen will know. But if he is on that team sheet at the weekend, he's proven time and time again why he's been one of the best players in the Premier League consistently over the years. But he does it in the big games. He does it in the big games when it matters. It matters on Sunday. It's the biggest game of the season. It will be the best victory of the season if Liverpool were to do it. And with Salah's name on the team sheet, you're thinking, there is a potential match winner.
Well, that's exactly my next question. In fact, he is a big game player. It's the occasions he rises to. Do you think that just seeing his name on the team sheet has an impact on the opposition in a match like this? Think, oh no, he's on, he's playing.
I think so, Ray. Mm-hmm. I mean, for you, psychologically, City will know how difficult it is coming to Anfield because of the crowd, and they've found it difficult there. They've seen the way that Liverpool have been playing with all their injuries. They've seen that a few players are coming back, but there is one of the best players in world football who has hurt them time and time again, and they will be mindful. And Salah might not be the match winner, but what it will do is it will cause panic in the defence. Two or three players might go there. That might buy space for somebody else to be the match winner. Maybe a Darwin Nunes, maybe a Luis Diaz. But he will make a difference psychologically and also for the crowd as well. The noise seeing Salah's name on the team. Yeah. When he gets the ball in the final third, because the fans have seen him do it so many times.
We play a different way when Mo plays. You know, you can see that in the first half tonight. When Diaz, Nunes and Gakpo, they got really narrow. You know, then they were interchanging positions, particularly Diaz and Gakpo. Gakpo ended up on the left and Diaz came over the right, but he didn't go right wide. When Mo plays, he goes right out the touchline. So what that will do will influence the fullback and the system that Man City want to come and apply. Because sometimes they play with inverted fullback who comes in. You can't do that when Mo's out there. You can't leave him. So it will change their dynamic and how they play. So that's the difference when Salah plays to the others, because it changes how your system is and your starting positions. He's out wide. If it's Diaz, he'll be out there. And then you've got your central centre forward, which changes their dynamic and how they want to play. So that's the other side of it, and how you get an upper hand in the opposition, because they've now got him change their system and how they've been playing to accommodate the team that they're playing against. So that'll be fascinating if Mo plays out there, how Man City handle it. And I agree with you what you said. The last few weeks, as well as Man City have been playing, they've been giving up chances. You know, even in the game where they beat Man United, they were 1-0 down, and then there was another occasion, Rashford went through and it came off his head and went sideways. If he headed it straight on, he was through 1-1 with the keeper, and that could have been 2-0. And then they might not have got back into the game. So that's what you have to play on. You have to play on their weaknesses. If they're not defending well, you've got to play on that. And certainly Liverpool have got the players in the attacking areas that can score the goals.
You both seem to be agreed in the fact that Salah will play, providing there's no repercussions from this evening. What else do you think Jurgen will do with his selection? What do you think his big decisions are? And who do you think ultimately he will pick for Sunday night?
I think the way that Nunes came off and smiled at the manager was as if to say, you're bringing me off for Sunday. So I think there's one name we expect to see on the team sheet. I think the way we've seen Diaz in recent weeks, I think he looks back to the levels that he was earlier on this season. So I'd be surprised if that wasn't the front three. Midfield three would be interesting. I think McAllister's been in great form. To see Endo back fit is a big boost. So there's two names. Question mark for the weekend will be, we go Dominic Szoboszlai, who's back fit, or Harvey Elliott, who's been absolutely magnificent. I think he'll go Harvey. But I don't know what the manager will do. And the other big question mark will be, who's going to be a centre-half? Is Konate fit or isn't he fit? It could be Joe Gomez, it could be a Kwanzaa, but I expect Conor Bradley right back. Robertson played 90. Probably didn't expect Andy Robertson to play 90, if we're being honest. Thought maybe might see Tsimikas. But yes.
Well, but does that point to the fact that he needed minutes, or point to the fact that maybe Joe will switch in for the game, or he'll do something different at left back?
Well, you don't know. I mean, Robertson's, for me, is a player that you remember Foden predominantly will be playing on that right hand side. So someone's got to go and mark him. Now, is Robertson a better defender? That'd be the question you've got to look. Certainly, Robertson will take him the other way. You know, he'll want to get forward. Is Foden going to go and track him? You know, because Liverpool are home. Liverpool are going to be the aggressors. You're the home side. You've got to take the game to the opposition. So Liverpool will be trying to push them back and see defensively what their mindset is. But there's very few positions that are up for grabs. Centre-half, because we don't know who's going to be fit. I think that's one. And I agree with, certainly with McAllister and Endo. I think they're definites, and it's just who plays in there as the other person. Now, would the manager play two players in Szoboszlai and Salah, who've been out for as long as they have, and for the little game time that they've had? That's a big question. That's a big dilemma that the manager's got. Are they fit enough? And that comes back to listening to the medical team, finding out exactly how they feel, and is it worth the gamble playing them two players who you think could be game changers, match winners, and the difference between the two sides to get you the victory?
The change going into this meeting of these two sides in a title race, Neil, compared to other previous title race clashes, is there's another team in the equation. Mm-hmm. Arsenal play Brentford on Saturday. There's every chance they will go top before this game even takes place. How does that change the overall dynamic and the importance on this fixture? Maybe more so for Man City, given they've got ground to make up.
I think because there's still 10 Premier League games to go after this game, I think both sides would accept a draw. It doesn't feel like it's a must win at this stage. It would be a massive win. But because Arsenal are hovering in a position to maybe try and pounce on any kind of slip-ups between Liverpool and City, it makes it sort of different to what we've seen in recent years. It really does. What I would say is Arsenal have got some tough games. They've still got to go to City. They've got Spurs away. That's a tough game for them, the local neighbours. United away, you know, who knows what they'll be like then. So they've got some tough games. We've got some tough games ourselves. It's nice to be in that position. Last season we were. We are in a title race. Let's enjoy it. Let's make, between now and the end of the season, a special end for Jürgen's goodbye.
That's it from the Reaction podcast. Hope you can join us again after Liverpool's top of the table clash with Manchester City, and we'll bring you more exclusive interviews and analysis. Until then, if you haven't already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts, to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. We'll see you next time.